Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio with Alejandro Rojas. Open Minds Radio is your UFO news authority, presenting evidence and the latest news regarding the UFO phenomenon. Here's your host, Alejandro Rojas.
Welcome to Open Minds Radio. This is Alejandro Rojas. Do you guys like it when I talk like that? Someone on YouTube said that my voice was making his ears bleed or something awful like that. But I know that people like me because we went to MUFON this weekend and we met the coolest people in the whole world, California MUFON. And we should have known, you know, there would be some people that work in the industry, as they call it, the industry everybody wants to work in Hollywood type stuff. Got to brag a little bit, especially because we have to say hi to our friends that work at The Simpsons, because we heard there are some people that work at The Simpsons that like us. They really, really like us, and they listen to the show, and one of them is, with any luck, going to draw Jason and I Simpsonized.
Don't put him on the spot.
We're going to be Simpsonated. Now he's got to do it. You can just do it really quick, little stick figures. That's just having it from you would be wonderful. That's going to be it was so cool talking to him. And by the way, he treated us to something that was extra special that you can check out as well. Go to YouTube and search for Whistle While You Work, and you will see some adorable little birdies doing some funny stuff. And you're going to love it. So check out YouTube, Whistle While You Work. Also, and we're huge Simpson fans. I mean, come on, who isn't? That's why they've been around forever and ever. In fact, I even had, when the movie came out and all the 7-Elevens were like Quickie Marts, I have like the whole set of the Simpson Quickie Mart cups, and I use them all the time.
Stop using them. You're going to wear them out.
I know, but I can't help it. They're cool, and they're great size. It was an excuse to go get Slurpees. I love Slurpees. Anyway, thank you very much for passing by and saying hello to you. Also, we have a buddy who passed by and listened to the show who works on Marvel Comics. I won't use names just in case they don't want me to. I know some don't. And his buddy is a movie star, literally, and he came by. We got to talk to him, so it was a lot of fun, let alone all of the super cool people at MUFON. And I got to tell you guys, you know, there is some controversy. Sometimes people are like, oh, man, MUFON, they're evil, and they're so bad, and they're working with the government. Of course, I was with MUFON, and I'm not with the government. Which is good because the government doesn't get paid much. Although they get a pension. My mom's got this great pension. She worked with the government. But they're the greatest people. People like we're just laughing about Clifford Cliff, who runs MUFON. He's the international director. And he's such a funny, goofy guy. He is just so funny that if you met this guy, you would just fall in love with him. So if you have a UFO organization that brings people in, and maybe some people in your organization are skeptical about MUFON, no problem. Invite Cliff or some of the other directors, Jan Harzan. He's the OC section director. He actually put on this conference. He's also on the board of directors for MUFON. He's a great guy. My buddy, the Switex, that are out there. They're a wonderful family. They're out there. My good friend, you guys have heard Chuck Zukowski on the show, his sister, Debbie Ziegelmeyer, who's been on the show herself, who's a Missouri State director. Now she's a new director on the board. Tom Dooley is a director. Tom Whitmore. I mean, these are really cool, great guys. And if you go to the conference, you meet them, and you get to find out they're down-to-earth, regular guys doing their best to try to move this whole field forward. Some of them, sure, Tom Dooley worked for defense. He worked for NSA, actually, I believe is what it was. One of them had worked for the FBI. John Schuster, my good buddy, who we've had on the show and who we wrote about in the magazine. He worked for NASA. That doesn't mean they're evil government people hiding stuff. That means that they're even more capable of doing this work of trying to find the answers. And if you met and talked to them, you would see they have no love for the secrets, that they're just the opposite. They're trying to find more answers. And because of the jobs that they were at, they understand that there are secrets to be had, that there's some stuff to get to there. So there's some great people. I did want to mention, of course, Story Musgrave. That was an interesting thing. Probably some of you are wondering how that went. He's an astronaut who came and spoke as a keynote speaker, who does not believe there's anything to the UFO phenomena that is misidentified. He himself took some pretty popular videos of UFOs in space, and he pretty much said that he just couldn't identify what they were, but they were pretty much some sort of space junk from the shuttle that he just wasn't sure what it was. And he was kind of funny because he was nice about it. I felt maybe a little condescended to maybe a tiny bit, and Jason, you can, where he was like, you people are creative and imaginative, and it's great. And I kind of felt like, you know, yeah, you guys are special class, and we need those people in special class, you know. It's cute the way you ride to school in your little yellow bus. But he was a very nice guy, at the very least, and shared with us some pretty incredible stories, although he doesn't really put much credence into this. Although, of course, some of the ideas that are put forth can get pretty out there. So I can see how some people would feel that way. But overall, it was a wonderful time. I had a lot of fun. And Jason, did you want to share your MUFON experiences?
I did all of my sharing this past weekend at MUFON.
Well, you have to talk. Just because you talked a lot this weekend doesn't mean you can come on the show and say I've been talked out.
I don't believe I said that.
This is radio.
Uh-oh.
That's how I interpreted it.
Oh, we had a great weekend at MUFON, met so many wonderful people, and it was great. We actually made a lot of new friends and saw lots of old friends.
Yeah.
And it was great to meet some people, some of our listeners for the first time, some of them we've met before or interacted with online. But it was those events are always fun to meet the people face to face. And
mm-hmm. Was it a favorite? I had a favorite person who I met. Did you?
Oh, I'm seeing if I can guess who your favorite person was.
It's not that hard to figure out.
Me?
No, the movie star's girlfriend.
Oh.
Because I guess she's a movie star, too. I didn't recognize her, but she, and I hope she doesn't hear that and think I'm a jerk, but I don't think she's into this stuff. But whoa, mama, she was very pretty.
She was fun to meet, and I don't know. I think because of who she was with and how much time they spent there going around and talking to absolutely everybody there, talking to the speakers, talking to vendors, and this actor himself was very interested in learning and gathering as much information as possible. We spent a lot of time talking with him, and she was right there by him, and she was kind of taking it all in as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, and I thought that gives me inspiration, too, when you see a movie star person, because these, are, of course, are very influential people. And you know then there's that conversation going on. We know it anyway because we see it reflected in the movies and the media and stuff like that. But it's kind of cool when they're brave enough to come forth and come to something like that, an event.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. like you said, I mean, it was OC, California, and there were lots of Hollywood representatives there, I guess you could say, and it's always wonderful. You know, I think the negative idea that a lot of people think when they hear of movie stars or any celebrity type person exploring the UFO subject, they think they're going to be goofy and silly and think that it's kind of a weird kind of, I don't know, fad that they're going through.
Yeah.
But the people we talked to this weekend were extremely serious about the subject and were actually put off by some of the things that they had heard, from some people that are really far-fetched ideas or things that have no sort of scientific background or any references, just claims that people make with no backing it up at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that they were frustrated with. Yeah. They want, well, like we all
right.
do, you know, they want
like our listeners
proof.
Want.
Right. But it was great to hear that they were digging for that information. They wanted to talk to the credible people. They were put off by some of the silliness. Mm-hmm. And they were looking for the serious aspect of ufology.
Yeah. Now, my second favorite person I met, who I haven't mentioned yet, and I don't think he'll mind that he lashed out to, and a very pretty blonde girl, gorgeous, in fact, Lee Spiegel.
Absolutely.
Of Huffington Post.
Absolutely.
Of course, we talk about him a lot because he's writing and he's on Huffington Post. I was really excited because he says he sees Ariana a lot, and some people might be upset, but I'm an Ariana Huffington fan. And I love, of course, we're into the social media and all that, so we love to see what he does there, or Huffington does there. But Lee Spiegel was an absolutely super cool guy.
Lee is great. It was wonderful to meet him. And yeah, Lee is one of the mainstream journalists who writes on this topic regularly.
Mm-hmm. That's his beat.
Yep, and you're right. So we do cite to his articles a lot in our news.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure he'll have. He was probably busy. He didn't get one up today, but I'm sure he'll have a couple out this week that'll be generated from this conference, just like
so.
He did three or four from
and
our conference.
You and I talked about this, but it's always so much of a relief when you meet these people who you've known of for quite a while, and you know you follow their work, you reference their work,
mm-hmm.
So you finally meet them. You always have to cross your fingers and hope they're not big jerks.
Yeah. Well, and I should say a couple other people I met, too, that were really cool were people that we had on the show recently. Ted Peters sat at the table next to us. Him and his wife were great people. And then Joe McMonagall, who I've never met either. I'm always excited to have everybody on the show. But it was great to meet them because him and his wife were also really cool people.
And it was fun to meet Story Musgrave because he single-handedly built the Hubble telescope.
Yeah, he says he built
according to him.
Yeah, in his barn and kind of talked NASA into launching it, and thank goodness he did.
Yeah.
Because
we enjoy
Hubble
his
rocks.
Pictures.
Yeah, he takes some great pictures with his big camera.
Oh, yeah.
And I should mention, moving on from MUFON, our guest this evening, who... For me, it's kind of a milestone for me to have him on the show because, you know, you guys know I've had Greg Bishop on, especially lately, and some others who I've talked about. Richard Doty, who is an Air Force intelligence officer. I've talked about, his escapades, and Paul Benowitz, who was unfortunately a gentleman that Richard Doty fed disinformation to. And who a gentleman who ultimately had a breakdown, which was very unfortunate. And there's another player in here, kind of off to the side, who is a state police officer for New Mexico, who was assigned to the Dulce area and investigated cattle mutilations when they stretched in the 70s, started happening in northern New Mexico, and then also met and became friends with Paul Benowitz, and eventually... met and became friends with Richard Doty also. So he's got some insights on all of this, and especially cattle mutilations, because he believes he knows who's doing it and why. And he's going to tell us all about that later on in the show. He's very difficult to get a hold of or to interview. We had quite a time getting a hold of him and getting to interview him. He's very short in his answers, very precise and to the point. So it's only, we probably won't be talking to him too long. But I'm glad that we were able to get him on the show and be able to talk to him so I can get some of these answers that I've been curious about here. Because as I've said on the show before, I think a lot of the mythology that we all believe in comes from this whole era of this information that Richard Doty was feeding us. And it's important for us to try to weed out what, if any of that is real and what is not, and the motivations behind why this all happened and why this information got out. So this will be a spectacular interview, and you people are so very fortunate to be listening and to be able to hear this interview. But before that, there is a lot of UFO news that has gone on. And Jason McClellan, our news correspondent, is going to tell us all about it.
Hola, Alejandro, and hello, everybody, hola, out in Radio Land, and to our video viewers. Remember, we do have video with the show that you can watch live on openminds.tv, as well as after the fact on YouTube and elsewhere. We are all over the internet.
YouTube rocks.
But this is your Open Minds News Brief for Monday, August 1st, 2011. We'll start off with a story that was early last week. I think that's when it was out. I know we've been talking about this one for a little bit. But witnesses observed a circular UFO in the night sky above Sao Paulo, Brazil, on Saturday, July 23rd. And the object in the sky hovered, and it rotated like a Ferris wheel. White or light blue lights around the circumference of the UFO flashed or pulsed as the object rotated. Additionally, a large blue light was in the center of the object. According to UOL News in Brazil, one of the witnesses described, "It was like a round disc with a lot of blue lights and was very high. Everyone stopped to watch. It looked like a movie scene." The UFO in the video is quite a spectacle and certainly looks mysterious. However, the object is most likely to be of terrestrial origin. The spinning of the object and its multiple lights are characteristic of an LED-adorned remote-control aerial vehicle or an LED-adorned object suspended by a balloon or helicopter. One of the witnesses told UOL News, "A friend stated that someone put a lighted kite in the sky. A similar object floated over Rio de Janeiro in 2009. That UFO had a large screen on the bottom of it with a reported 15,000 bulbs, but according to Globo, a 160-foot steel cable attached to a helicopter was suspending the work of an American artist. So this artist created this UFO and put all of these LED lights on the bottom of it, and he could control the flashing and the patterns that the lights would do with his cell phone. And while it is certainly possible that this recent Sao Paulo UFO is something else entirely, the Rio de Janeiro artist-created UFO supports the notion that the July 23rd Sao Paulo UFO was also man-made."
Mm-hmm. It looks like it is because it's a circular blue light that look like LEDs. The Epic Times did a story on it just today, and as a follow-up, a lot of people have it. They've kind of caught on late.
Yeah.
The story came out in a few sources, and then a few days later, a bunch of sources came out with
right.
it. But nobody has anything new to offer except for one person who said it can't be a kite because it stays at a 45-degree angle the whole time, which a kite wouldn't. I don't know. That could be. But it's certainly, because it's a circular light, it's cool looking, that's for sure. And I guess the jury's still out. But
yeah, I thought there would be some new developments because, like you said, on Friday and today, the beginning of the week, there were a lot of news stories from major media outlets on this story. So I looked at them, and, yeah, they're just a week late on the stories.
Yeah. Yeah, and but it is a fun video, so if you haven't seen it, be sure to go check that out. And we have now several links on it from our website.
Right, we definitely have it on the site, and we also have the one from 2009 from Rio de Janeiro on there too.
But it was good that we got there early and you got your story up because it looks like we got a lot of hits on it. Drove a lot of traffic to our site.
Excellent.
Well,
all right. Well, a UFO in the sky above Fort Worth, Texas was recorded last Monday morning by a news station's tower camera. And I do remember one of our listeners we met at MUFON wanted us to talk about this story.
Yeah.
But, so this was recorded last Monday by a news station's tower camera. And the NBC DFW video shows a white light rapidly entering the frame from the top right of the screen. The UFO then makes a quick 45-degree turn and speeds out of frame. It is possible that the object in the video is simply an insect, but its identity remains a mystery. According to Bruce Phelps of NBC DFW, UFO investigators were contacted to review the video, but I haven't heard anything about any follow-up with that, so who
yeah.
knows if they actually did. But this video comes just 2 months after another NBC affiliate, KSHB in Kansas City, Missouri, caught a UFO on video with their tower camera. And I believe that was the Harry Potter car.
Yeah. That was a weird one.
Yeah.
That one, I would say, I don't know what the heck that Harry Potter car was. This one, to me, looks like a bug.
It certainly looks like
because
a bug.
Because it flies in and then it turns, goes away. And why wouldn't you see it before? And why would you see just this light when it gets close to the camera and goes away? Because it was captured by the light of the camera. So as it got closer, it kind of flew away. And the reason I say this is because I've done lots of paranormal investigation, and it reminds me of night vision.
Right.
Because when you're doing night vision, your night vision camera only can put light out to a certain, not very far.
Mm.
And so you'll see things fly into that light and fly out, and it's like as if they come and go really quick. It's something you have to be careful of. So it looks a lot like the night vision stuff that I've done when a bug flies in and flies out real quick. That's what I think it was, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, it definitely looks like a bug, but...
It could be...
No sé.
Owl.
Yeah?
Alf, I mean.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Kind of a weird-looking dude.
Alf's freaky.
Here's a story from today. Researchers claim that they can reproduce complex crop circles with the aid of a tool that they put together and can be easily built by anyone. A team from the University of Oregon used parts from an ordinary microwave oven and a 12-volt battery to create a device called a magnetron. According to the Daily Mail, Professor Richard Taylor, who leads his team of researchers, claims to be able to reproduce the intricate damage inflicted on crop circles using the gadget developed by his team at the University of Oregon. Some crop circle formations are found to have unusual properties, such as collapsed stalks and the presence of radiation, characteristics not found in crop circles made by pranksters using simple wooden planks. But following the study conducted by Professor Taylor and his team with the magnetron, he theorizes that crop circles with unusual characteristics could be explained by his research. Professor Taylor explains the radiation waves that are capable of heating food when utilized in an oven cause crop stalks to fall over and cool in a horizontal position. Professor Taylor's report is in this month's edition of Physics World. But this isn't really new research at all.
No, not at all. Of course, BLT, our good buddy... Nancy Talbot, along with, it was first Levengood who figured this out, that there was an electromagnetic, a microwaving going on. So this isn't new at all, and at the time, especially when they discovered this, it was microwaves were still kind of clunky, and in fact, it wasn't too long ago that some kids, and I'm pretty sure it was MIT, but it was one of the universities,
right.
They went and they took apart a microwave and they created this elaborate, huge device. It was big. One person, it took like two people to hold it. One person could strap it on, but it was extremely dangerous where they microwaved a plant and it was huge and clunky. And it certainly wasn't the type of thing you could get into a field and out of. They had to drive their truck into the field with their equipment to do this. So the technology wasn't there. So maybe he created just something now that you could do that with. But what about the ones from years ago?
Right.
And we already knew there was a microwave. But where does that microwave come from?
Well, and along with this study, he also mentions the use of GPS.
Yeah.
You know, again, how do you explain the earlier ones?
Yeah. Unless he's saying, like, of course, we know some people theorize that some kind of microwave laser out of the sky, but even the people who talk about that talk about how it can't be a satellite.
Right.
That's too far, and that microwave would dissipate through the atmosphere. It would have to be some sort of steady platform above the ground, like a helicopter or something. But, of course, helicopters aren't seen. So
that leads people to speculate blimps, the use of blimps, dirigibles.
Yeah. Racing away in a blimp.
That's right.
Kind of funny.
Go, go, go.
They create it. Let's get out of here.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, which blimps would be caught on radar? And perhaps at night the blimp would be difficult to see, but you would see something blocking out the stars, I guess, or something. But if they got busted, that would be kind of funny. They get busted, and then all the people sitting out there looking for crop circles will put their spotlight on it. There it is.
Shoot down the blimp.
Shoot it with a BB.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear if we hear anything more on this. I'm sure we will because it was picked up by everyone today, it seems.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. But anyway, next week or in the future, we'll cover some more crop circles because there are a whole bunch of new ones that have popped up that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, there's been, of course, every year there's some. This year seems slow, but there's some more new ones. But the other thing I like is how he doesn't have to produce this device.
No.
He says he has it, but he doesn't have to demonstrate it in use or anything.
I'm sure if you call him, he'll show you.
Maybe we would.
Yeah.
We should.
He looks like a nice guy.
Diagrams. He probably is.
Nice guy.
And who knows? Maybe, you know, it'd be interesting to have a conversation with him.
Well, and I liked the quote I saw from him when, I don't remember who the interview was with. It might have been Reuters. But he stated that, you know, he doesn't worry about being affiliated with crop circle research, being thought of as a weirdo, because he approaches it as a scientist. He says when you have things that are unknown, you try to figure them out, and that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
So I do like that, you know. He sounds like a level-headed guy, and he's not one of these scientists who hides in the closet and won't face these things that get giggled at.
Yeah. You know, maybe we got maybe I got a little too excited there, and the whole people trying to explain the stuff away, and I need to sit back and appreciate his work.
Absolutely.
Thanks, buddy, because he did confirm that microwaves can be doing it, and he needs to look at the work where there's evidence that, yeah, microwaves are at work here.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we should look at contacting him.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, in other news, it turns out that a well-known UFO that was taken in 1990 in Belgium was most likely a hoax. Someone stepped forward to claim responsibility for hoaxing the photo in an interview with a French reporter last Tuesday. According to Reuters, this self-admitted culprit explained, "We made the model with polystyrene, we painted it, and then we started sticking things to it, then we suspended it in the air, then we took the photo." This photo has been widely circulated and has been associated with the period known as the Belgian UFO wave that took place during 1989 and 1990. Everybody's seen this picture.
Everybody's seen it, but there's more to this.
I wanted to ask you about the more, so go for it.
Yeah, there's a lot more. I have emailed the general because I've met him. We had him at MUFON 4 years ago in San Jose, another California MUFON, which was a great MUFON. Probably one of the best conferences, the second best conference, second to ours, that I've ever been to. I mean, it was great. We had so many people, including General De Brouwer, who was an Air Force Belgium general who was in charge of investigating this whole phenomena. And so I've asked him if this is the same person, and he hasn't responded yet. But I'll bet he will. And the story was, though, that it was an 18-year-old kid, and this person was 18 during that period of time, who took the photo and who gave it to the Air Force. They investigated it. They never released the kid's name because he didn't want his name released. But the Air Force, Belgium Air Force, looks into it, you know, and investigates it. Other organizations look into it. And this kid must have had, you know, this guy, if he faked it, some brass you-know-what, because he had to really, I mean, when you're a hoax, if you hoax something, is being interrogated by these guys. But the worst thing is then when they decided that this thing is real, he sold the rights to someone. And this person has been selling this picture for decades now, making a lot of money. And I'm sure there's a cut that this person got. So they've been making a lot of the money off of this hoax picture. In fact, technically everybody's supposed to pay them in order to use it. So this person, because the name wasn't released, it still needs to be confirmed by someone in the investigation that this gentleman who claims he took the picture is indeed the person who gave it over to the Belgian Air Force. And I haven't read in any of these stories, I don't know if you have, where they have confirmed that with the Belgian Air Force.
Not at all. I don't think so.
So that still has to be done. Of course, the general may come forth and say, yes, this is the guy, and then we'll find out he did trick people. It's entirely possible. But this is a big story because this is one of the best UFO pictures out there.
Right.
And the most investigated by an Air Force, you know, backed by a general. I believe there was, I think Richard Haynes, right, had looked into it. People say NASA, but it wasn't really NASA. It was someone who had worked for NASA, but not NASA themselves.
That makes a better headline, and that's what everybody's saying.
Exactly. So, yeah, this is a big deal.
Well, there were lots of UFO videos from the past week. Mm-hmm. So I picked out a couple that we can briefly talk about.
Cool.
A series of red UFOs were captured on video in the sky above Helsinki, Finland on Saturday, July 23rd. The glowing objects appear to hover and move very slowly through the sky. But unfortunately, these objects do possess characteristics of the infamous Chinese lanterns.
Bum, bum, bum.
And while the identity of the objects is officially unknown, the logical identification is Chinese lanterns.
Mm.
And that's what the consensus is right now with the media, and that is my vote as well, being that Alejandro and I have conducted Chinese lantern testing, and we're familiar with Chinese lanterns in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And while you can't be 100% sure, when you see these reddish-orange glowing balls that kind of hover and drift slowly through the sky, it's most likely Chinese lanterns.
Mm-hmm. So, our Chinese lantern resident expert says, burn, Chinese lanterns.
Bum, bum,
bum, bum. I was thinking of that one.
We need to get all these.
Price is right.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have to do them verbally because we don't have rights for the audio. But I don't think they can pin us down if we kind of pretend
well,
like
if you
want
to get technical, that counts as a public performance.
Oh,
so we
no.
do have to pay for it.
Busted. We're going to have to erase this part of the show then when we put it out on podcast.
And see, our friend's bird can get away with whistling whistle while you work because it's a bird. Nobody's going to sue the bird.
Oh, I know the crazy bird. Don't forget, go to YouTube. Check out, search for Whistle While You Work.
Whistle While You Work and look for a cute little, what are they, cockatiels?
Yeah.
Cockatiel.
Although this is at PG-13, you think? They show this kind of stuff on nature shows.
They do, and I'm wondering if this is even recommended to watch at work. It's a fine line
yeah.
there.
But it's funny.
You definitely need to see it. So. Anyway, let's see. We have another video here. A man claims to have witnessed a UFO in the sky above the town of Vestal, New York. The witness saw the object from a hospital and described that it hovered for approximately 10 seconds, then it shot up like a bullet and vanished. 10 other people supposedly saw the UFO as well. As the man was driving home from the hospital, he saw the UFO again, and this time he managed to snap a picture of the disc-shaped object.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a weird photo. I mean, this is a perfectly disc-shaped object. Like,
I know I looked at the picture and thought, wow, neat, but I didn't revisit the story to look at it a little closer, so I can't remember it completely.
You're not watching the video stream, are you, Alejandro?
Yeah, let me go over there and take a look.
Because we do have pictures of these on our video stream right now.
Video stream, the magic of video stream. Well, there's a commercial.
And, you know, some people have said that is a red flag for them. That, you know, he was able to see it later and take a picture
of
it. Oh,
yeah, crazy. Weren't there two pictures, though?
Two pictures, yes, but they were both of the second appearance of this object.
Oh, right,
when
right.
he was driving home from the hospital.
It's a strange picture, yeah. Someone needs to look at it closer because it, of course, if there's no signs of pixelation or any of that stuff, then it's a pretty stunning picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
It reminds
it's
me.
It's a very clear disc, a very long. Regular disc.
Reminds me of like those ones from the 70s that we have in the Windles collection.
Exactly.
It's a very clear disc.
But when I see that, unfortunately, I think of my iPhone and how easily it is to take a picture and put a UFO into it. So.
Yeah.
But I'm not doubting him. I certainly could have taken it. That's an incredible picture.
Yeah.
So check out that one. That's pretty cool. And then strange lights were seen in Ontario, Canada on the evening of Saturday, July 16th. And were captured on video by Hamilton resident Simon Reynolds. And this is an interesting story. The UFOs were first spotted above Reynolds' house by three young girls who described one of the objects as red, but it had yellow lights all over it. It made no noise at all. It was completely silent. It was like hovering. That's how they described it. It was
wow.
like hovering. It's
they
more,
said
it's,
like?
They did, but it's cuter than that because they're like eight.
Oh, how cute.
Yeah. And so they got excited and they ran in to get Reynolds, who pulled out his iPhone to record the objects. Several other people in the area saw the strange objects in the sky, but nothing out of the ordinary was detected by the control tower at a nearby airport. And similar lights were seen the following week as well. And authorities have no idea what the strange lights were.
Wow. That's a good story.
Yeah. One of the girls even... drew an illustration
mm-hmm.
of what she saw, and it's kind of an interesting thing. But they actually saw like a craft, not just lights.
That kid's got a future in UFO investigation.
I think so. You know, Wendell Stevens was very good at creating these illustrations, these technical illustrations
mm-hmm.
based on witness reports. And I really like this little girl's drawing, and it's very colorful and
mm-hmm.
it's kind of fun. It's very descriptive.
Kids would be good at that because that's when your coloring skills are at their peak.
You were right.
You asked me to color something with some crayons right now. It's not going to be as good as kids who are really practicing it every day at school.
As I started aging, my crayon skills went, and then I had to graduate to colored pencils, and then those went. Now I can't do anything.
Yeah. I always love the videos, too, with kids in the background, like when you get those videos to investigate and look at, because they're always really cute.
Well, you know? In this video, you can actually hear the kids in it being excited about the UFO.
That's cool.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Alejandro, that is it for the news for today. Remember to check out these stories and more at openminds.tv, your source for UFO-related news. I'm Jason McClellan, your Open Minds news correspondent, and you've been briefed. Back to you, Senor Alejandro.
Thank you, Jason. That's some wonderful news that we heard today. Now for the weather. Just kidding. We're not going to go to the weather. But what we do want to do is let me look at any of the stories. We just posted a story today on the Breaking Down the Black Budget. This is, of course, by our unacknowledged aviation expert, Michael Schratt, who's into black budgets and stuff like that. So he took a look at that and has a little study on, you know, how much money we got going on into this black budget. We also posted some information about a video that I believe we already talked about on the show, because this is a story that came out last week, on the Chilean government releasing some audio and some video. What happened is that Antonio, since he has connections out there, actually contacted some of the officials in the area to get the details about what cases they released information on, what information are we seeing in these videos, so you have some more information about that. And we also just threw in kind of a little extra, which is one of the UFO photographs from Chile recently, which has been studied and deemed to be unknown, and it's a very, very interesting picture that you'll want to check out. Also, our very own Maureen Ellsbury, the YouTube superstar, has done a review on Cowboys and Aliens. So if you want to see what she thought about the movie, then go check that out. I know that some of the guys who met her at the conference are going to want to try to study what types of movies she likes so they can take her out to a movie, because she is just a cutie. So, other stories that we have going on, and I love talking about her because she gets so embarrassed. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you talked about me on the show. Some other stuff going on. Stanton Friedman, this is really fun. He was one of the speakers at MUFON, and he wrote a review about a review. There was a review on the Area 51 book where they talked about Roswell, and they kind of, you know, dissed on old Stanton Friedman there, and Stanton ain't having none of that. So they were very inaccurate. They didn't even say he was a nuclear physicist. They made it sound like he's just some goofball out there. So he called him out on it. He said, hey, people, let me tell you about my credentials and show how you just accused Annie Jacobson of not doing her homework, and you didn't do your homework yourself. In fact, the quote that we have on the expert excerpt, he says, frankly, I'm angry. So Stanton's always fun to meet, too. It's a lot of fun to see Stanton. And then we've talked about the other stories that we got up there. So you can go see some of those videos that we talked about up there on the site. Now, before I get into this interview with Gabe Valdez, I want to explain a little bit more just to jog your memories. I know I did this just a minute ago, but just give you a little more information before we get into the interview, because, of course, the way Gabe is, he's very to the point, and so I want to make sure you guys understand what we're talking about here. And what we're talking about is, you know, he was a state patrol or a state highway patrol officer in the 70s, or up until further than that, in the northern New Mexico area around Dulce, when cattle mutilations began. He started investigating those eventually, because Paul Benowitz was a gentleman who started getting into UFO research. He met Benowitz. Now, Benowitz lived in Albuquerque, and he lived right outside of the gates of Kirtland Air Force Base, and he was taking video of lights in the sky. He was also, because he was very scientific-minded, in fact, he owned a science business that was of instruments, sold instruments and stuff like that to Kirtland Air Force Base. He was very technical, and he also created something where he was able to tune in on some sort of codes or something like that. He felt that what he was seeing was UFOs, and these codes he was listening to were you know, from aliens. So he went to talk to Kirtland Air Force Base. They listened to him. Now, according to Richard Doty, and this is what he told someone, and this is documented in the book by Greg Bishop, Richard Doty was in the Air Force at the time as an intelligence officer, that what really Benowitz was seeing were secret projects that were going on in Kirtland Air Force Base. And in order to throw him off the trail, just in case the Russians would come in and hear about this and say, hey, you know, what is this that you're looking at? Let us hear these messages so that they would start to understand our technology. They actively fed this gentleman disinformation to make him believe that these were UFOs and aliens, to support his ideas in that, so that if Russians ever heard of some guy videotaping lights and getting signals by Kirtland Air Force, instead of looking into it, they'd be like, oh, look, this guy's a crackpot because he thinks he's talking to aliens. Now, that's his story. Now, Doty also, according to Greg Bishop, also said that he tried to make Benowitz believe there was a secret underground base in the Dulce area, that aliens were there to further, you know, keep him away from the troops. So that's kind of the background of that whole story. Eventually, as we'll ask Gabe about, he became friends with Doty as well. So we'll ask him about his thoughts about all of this, what these gentlemen had told him. And he doesn't have a full hour. That's why we've taken a little more than an hour in this. But let's go ahead and hear what Mr. Valdez has to say. All right. I am happy to talk to someone I've been wanting to talk to for a long time, partially because a lot of my heart's in New Mexico, but also because, of course, I'm so interested in the subject. We have Gabe Valdez on the line. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay.
Good, good. So I guess we'll just start right off with how did you first get involved with the cattle mutilation?
Well, when the first occurrence, it was a crime to come and kill cattle, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I got involved in it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would investigate cattle rustling, or somebody would try to kill a cow, and whatever it was, that was part of our job.
So prior to the first mysterious cattle mutilation, I mean, you had probably seen cattle killed before.
Yes.
And but what was it that in your first mutilation looked different, or didn't look human, or at least looked, I guess, yeah, different to you?
Well, there was a lot of factors involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
The cattle, before they were killed, there was no access by vehicle.
Mm.
And the way they took the, they cut them up, it had to be somebody doing it.
Uh-huh. And about what year was the first one you had seen?
In 75.
1975. What were some of your thoughts? What were you thinking might have caused it?
Well, you know, there could be people doing it just on purpose, but it was kind of why were they taking certain body parts off the animal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then the animals were dehydrating so bad, you know, and the animals wouldn't eat them or anything, the coyotes, they wouldn't touch them.
Now, I know in some of the investigations I've gone on, you know, you look for a prosaic answer, of course, first. But at that time, you know, were there people thinking that it was aliens or UFOs? And did you give any thought to that?
No, because we were finding physical evidence at the crime scene.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you know how things expand and they get out of proportion.
Right.
And we were able to track where the aircraft was, because of the turbulence it created, it flipped over cow pads and other debris that was not the same color.
Okay. And so this indicated to you a sort of helicopter?
Well, there was some type of aircraft involved, yes.
Uh-huh.
And but it had to be a helicopter because it's kind of hard to fly fixed-wing aircraft in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they just don't can make it.
So pretty early on, you felt it was some human group of people. Then what were some of the other things that you found? I think you said you found other pieces of evidence showing that.
Yeah, we were able to find glow sticks, radar chaff,
mm-hmm.
and gas masks.
Yeah.
And other... some type of other elements that they left on top of the height.
Ah, gotcha. How strange. That's very strange.
Yeah.
Was that kind of scary for people?
Well, a lot of people didn't know that. See, these areas where they cut, where they kill these cattle, it's isolated and people don't have access to it, see.
Uh-huh.
But they will probably hear about it because of the news media.
Yeah. So then as a police officer, and the indications are that it is foul play, who were your prime suspects?
Well, someone was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had access to all these technology to do it.
Uh-huh. So possibly a government group?
Well, someone was behind it that had access to it.
Yeah.
That had ways to fly in that area and do what they were doing.
Mm-hmm. So did you look to, I mean, once the locals or the owners of the cattle found out that, you know, it was people using technology, they must have wanted some justice.
Yeah, of course they did, and they did a lot of, like Manuel Gomez, they killed a bunch of his cattle that hurt
mm-hmm.
him.
Yeah.
And that's a crime. And other
yeah.
people up in Red River and Taos, also the same thing.
Yeah.
And all over the United States, in Colorado, Utah,
mm-hmm.
Montana, and all those places.
So were you able to... try to find out who it was? I mean, and so these people could be brought to justice?
Well, it's very confidential, but it's very sensitive. Yeah.
Oh, who the perpetrators were?
Yes.
I see. So during this period of time, the FBI came into the area and conducted their own investigation.
No, they didn't do any of my investigations.
They didn't come and look at your evidence?
No.
So were you able to talk to the FBI agent who supposedly did the investigation?
He was a retired FBI agent.
Uh-huh.
The district attorney's office in Santa Fe got a grant for a year to do investigations, and he was a retired FBI agent. And we didn't have any mutilations at all for about 7 years.
Uh-huh.
I did talk to him once, but we didn't have anything go. Nothing happened during that time for a year or
wow.
for 7 years.
So
we got the grant in 1980, but we didn't have any mutilations again.
Uh-huh. So that report's on the FBI website now, and his conclusion eventually was that it was predators, but he was never able to do investigation of an actual crime scene or anything.
Not mine. He never
wow.
did do any.
Uh-huh.
No.
He so
didn't
and
handle
you,
any of my cases at all.
Right. And your cases certainly weren't due to predator kill, huh?
No. No, I was raised with cattle and all kinds of type goats and everything. And, but no... And the evidence that was left there, you know, predators don't leave gas masks, glow sticks, radar shafts.
Right.
They don't leave that stuff. They don't have vitamin B12.
Right. So you were finding vitamin B12 and radar shaft. Can you explain what radar shaft is?
It knocks out FAA towers, so you cannot see aircraft flying in the area.
Mm-hmm. So probably you, so they could get their silent helicopters in and out?
Yes.
Do you have any idea why they might be doing this?
We suspect something that, like I said, it's real sensitive.
Yeah, yeah. Now, were you, I guess, ever threatened or told to stay away from the whole situation?
No, I was never, no.
That's
they
good.
Placed listening devices in my house.
Oh, they did? Did you find those?
Yeah. And they did it at the tribal police building in Dulce and the tribal administration building, too.
Really?
Yeah.
And did I think I heard once that Manuel Gomez and their family had
them
as well?
Yeah, they did the same thing. They were identical.
Wow. And were you able to ever find out who it was that put those in
there?
We
don't know who made them, and they needed a search warrant to do it, and they didn't do it.
Wow.
So they violated our rights.
Right.
And they committed a crime also.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
Does that frustrate you?
Well, I've seen a lot of this junk going all over the place, but I knew, why were they doing that? If predators, if they were interested in what the predators were doing.
Right.
You don't place listening devices where see where snakes or rats or birds are flying.
Right. Does that upset you that they did that to you at all?
Well, I suspect that they were going to do that. They were trying to find out what we were doing, see.
Uh-huh.
In fact, one day we followed one of the sophisticated orbs that was monitoring. But we started speaking in Hikaria, and they got confused.
Really? What did this orb look like?
It looked like a hot air balloon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And luckily you had the advantage of speaking Hikaria. Are you Hikaria Apache yourself?
No.
No, but you know the language?
Yeah, I spent 25 years there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, the Ute are in that area also, right?
Well, Southern Ute, it's different. They're in Colorado, but Dulce is about 80 miles away from them.
Mm-hmm.
The Utes are about, it's northwest of the Hikaria Reservation.
Mm-hmm. I also saw on an interview with Manuel Gomez that he felt that the craft that were doing this to his animals were coming from an underground base under the Archuleta Mesa.
No, that's where they were landing.
They were landing on the Mesa?
Yes, to do other stuff, the other sensitive stuff.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it's not a state of Mesa.
Oh, it's not?
It's Mount Archuleta.
Mount Archuleta. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I had also, in Greg Bishop's book, had read that you had confronted some of those helicopters, I think, on Mount Archuleta?
No, it was at the Dulce airstrip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I heard that at least, I think he told it from Benowitz's perspective, who had told him, Paul Benowitz, that, you know, everybody was afraid but you, and you bravely kind of went over there and said, hey, what are you guys up to?
Yeah, and what happened, I don't know if there's an explanation there why Benowitz was up there. They were tracking Benowitz down.
Uh-huh.
And they wouldn't let him get close to where the activity was going on.
Hmm. Now, do you believe then there is some sort of underground base in that area?
Yeah, there is. There's four of them.
Four of them? Are they active?
I don't think they are. They had a fire there in 1996.
Uh-huh.
And they plugged one of them up, and the other ones are plugged up also.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
So, and of course, there's also the rumors of aliens being in these bases.
No, I never did see any aliens in the bases. What we saw was physical activity from within our resources.
Uh-huh. Now, have you seen or any UFOs in the area?
I've seen the sophisticated aircraft.
Uh-huh.
But not the other type.
Uh-huh. Now, what do they look like?
It's like they look like the what? It's a sophisticated aircraft, not like the stealth, more advanced than stealth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And are they kind of a delta or triangular shape like that?
Yes.
Wow. And have you seen then the silent helicopters also?
People have seen the helicopters. They're black and silent.
Uh-huh.
And some people did report them. And see, mm-hmm. they would do one incident like tonight, and then they'd wait 2 or 3 months to do the other one. We would set up surveillance. It'd be kind of hard to sit there for 3 months, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So another person who talks about the bases in the area is, or talked before he passed away, was Phil Schneider. And
yes.
I believe you helped with the investigation of his death?
Yes.
How did that happen? How did you get involved?
Well, through some other resources, and his wife asked me to help her.
Uh-huh. And you were able to, what were your conclusions?
Well, when there was something around his neck, plastic that caused a strangulation.
Uh-huh. So it wasn't a suicide?
No, unless he did it himself. You know, that uh-huh. hasn't been verified, you know.
Oh, okay. So you're
or
not
somebody
sure.
else could have done it, not related to that, you know.
Uh-huh. So it could have been a suicide?
Well, that's kind of hard. You don't see too many suicides like that.
Okay, gotcha.
You can see them with people shooting themselves or cutting their wrist or something, bleeding to death or taking an mm-hmm. overdose or something.
Do you believe his death had anything to do with the work that he did or alleges to have done?
Well, it's kind of hard, and it's up to the sheriff's office up there to determine that, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, so it's a very active and interesting area you're in. Now, Paul Benowitz, one of the people who is the main proponent of some of these stories about the underground bases and aliens and stuff like that, he's someone that you actually met and was friends with for a period of time.
Yes, I became really involved with him.
Uh-huh. So, and the story is, and even Richard Doty, who worked for Air Force, as you know, because you know him as well, he has told people, such as Greg Bishop in his book, who Greg Bishop, of course, talked to you as well, that he was giving wrong information to Benowitz. Were you able to witness that?
Benowitz was very good to giving me information, and after we researched the area, it was true, but I don't know what Richard Doty was communicating with Paul Benowitz. I know they were following him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That Doty was following Benowitz?
Yeah, Air Force Intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. Because one of the things that Doty had said is that he was the one who told Benowitz that there was a base under in the Dulce area and had supposedly planted jeeps and stuff there to make it look like there was something there, to make him believe that.
No, because it is true, because we did find out what Benowitz talked about. It's true, it's there. If he did it, and somebody else, I don't know why he would do that, but
mm-hmm.
for Benowitz took me and showed me where the things are, that's true.
Uh-huh. When you talked to Doty, how did your relationship begin with him?
Well, he became a state police officer, too, and I get along with Richard Doty. I don't push him around or ask him why did you do it? He had his job to do. He wasn't doing anything criminal.
Well, according to him, he was, or at least, you know, I hadn't thought it this way, but he says that it was part of his job to break into Benowitz's house or his lab to see what he was up to. Would that be legal for the Air Force to do that?
I don't think so. That's if he would have had a search warrant, then it would have been following the procedures. See?
Yeah. Yeah, but I had. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Why were they going to do that if it wasn't true what was going on? Why is so much concern?
Well, according to Doty, it was because he was seeing things at Kirtland Air Force Base that were secret. And so his boss wanted him to think it was alien stuff so that the Russians wouldn't get a clue of what was really going on.
That's probably true, you know.
Yeah.
But what he showed us up there was true. It wasn't a lie.
Yeah.
It was pretty good information he gave me.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of fits with what you're saying, because you're saying that it's not UFO stuff, it's human stuff.
Yes. And they dropped, they made a mistake one time. There was a mutilation in Chimayo, New Mexico by Española. And they would pick up the cattle or the cows and take them or do something with them away from where they first got killed.
Uh-huh.
And they bring them back and drop them on the ground, see. But one time they dropped one on top of a 20-foot tree in Chimayo. Cows don't jump that high. Yeah.
So the cow was up in the tree.
They dropped it on top of a 20-foot tree.
Wow. Yeah. Did you see that one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Did you happen to take pictures?
Yeah, I have pictures of it.
Oh, wow. Would you be able to share those, or maybe if I came by?
Yeah, I'd have to look for them and see. Yeah, but there was other state police officers there with me at the time that time. Yeah.
What did your colleagues think? I mean, what were your? Did they think of you as kind of weird for looking into this, or did they see that what you were looking at was real?
Well, you know, and all this stuff, they think that. But it was our job to investigate what was going on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
For the they were taking away the livelihood of these ranchers, you
right.
know.
And was there any justice to be had? I mean, were there anybody who was like a politician or perhaps your boss who was willing to try to stand up for these people and hold whatever clandestine group was doing this accountable?
No, I never did that. Nobody interfered with me or anything. No.
Yeah, but nobody kind of helped.
Fortunate. Well, yeah. I was very fortunate that the state police didn't tell me, don't do this, don't do that.
Yeah, yeah. But nobody went to confront whoever this was, huh?
No. Well, at that time, we didn't know who really was involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think you know now?
Well, yeah, kind of, but it's real sensitive.
Is there any way to bring these people to justice or make them stop?
Probably they're not doing them now. They did some up in Trinidad, Colorado, I think a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep, that's one of them I saw because we went on a few investigations in that area a couple years ago in Trinidad. And like you said, this thing looked like it had been dropped. There's no way vehicles could get in there. And one thing that I find interesting is that, you know, people like FBI or someone will come in and say it's a cattle mutilation, but the ranchers themselves who see animals die a lot know that it's not.
No, it's different. A lot of ranchers see their cattle die of some other, you know, they eat a lot of alfalfa. Cattle cannot eat alfalfa.
Mm-hmm.
They bloat and die, and you see a lot of incidents like that or other things, you know, and it's completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they know what's going on, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty unfortunate.
Yeah.
So with Doty, then you never really talked to him about this stuff.
Yeah, we talked about it, and I knew that he was involved with Air Force Intelligence.
Uh huh.
And of course, you have to have some respect how you confront people too, because that was his job, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Benowitz was communicating with them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason I asked, you know, was that Criminal. I really had never thought of it until I spoke with, I did an interview with John Alexander, who is an Army colonel, and he said he didn't believe that Doty was following orders. He thinks Doty was making this stuff up to tell Benowitz this stuff because he didn't believe the Air Force would tell him to break the law and break into Benowitz's house.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that went overboard, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because he says, yeah, that would not be legal.
Mm-hmm. It's not legal.
Is there anything that you could, like, advice you would give to someone who this is happening to, what they can do?
They need to be real careful when they look at one of them animals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Careful of toxic stuff or just careful?
Well, being exposed to them, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the B-12 that they use dangerous at all?
Not the B-12. B-12 enhances the immune system.
Okay. Why do you think it's found in these mutilations?
The research they were doing.
Because of whatever. Do you have any idea what kind of research that is?
Well, yeah, but it's real sensitive.
That you can't talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and have you been? Has someone come and told you?
Have they what?
Have you been told exactly what it is?
Well, we know through the research that we did.
Oh, okay, I see. See, so that's how you were able to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but luckily you haven't gotten any trouble, huh?
No, thanks God.
Yeah. What about the
Of course, I have some attorneys that know about the about it, and some high level people that are aware of it in case something does, you know.
Uh huh. Yeah, it's just if they were doing experiments, why wouldn't they take the bodies? Why would they bring them back?
And that was a mistake they made. They should have just taken him and not bring him back, burn him, or do away with him.
Uh-huh.
Well, they're trying to make people think that aliens were involved or animals.
I see. So it's kind of similar to that other stuff, making people believe.
Well, and that's a mistake that they were making, see.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you think that there are animals that still disappear for experiments, but just are not returned?
Well, apparently not, because people are close to their animals and they would notice something missing or something dead, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And
I know
if they die of natural causes, their tongue and their tonsils are not missing.
Yeah.
Or they have a, okay, yeah.
How has Manuel Gomez, how does he feel now?
Well, that's pretty bad. He made a bad impact on him, you know.
Yeah. Is he pretty upset?
When you destroy all them cattle, that's your livelihood, you know.
Yeah.
And even if you lose even 4 or 5 head of cattle, they're taking $2,000 away from you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people depend on that for their livelihood, you know, to survive.
Mm-hmm. Has he ever tried to sue the government?
Well, he doesn't know who to sue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So there's nothing he can do?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, I mean, no one's willing to, I guess, investigate further, huh?
Well, no, I guess not.
Uh-huh. But if you know who it was, would you know? Then you know who to sue, right?
Well, I don't want to make any comments about that yet.
Yeah. I guess, are these people who are beyond reproach?
Well, it's real sensitive, like I said, you know.
Uh-huh. How do you feel about what they're doing? Do you feel it's wrong?
Well, it is wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How would people be able to protect themselves or their cattle from this?
Just stay with their cattle and sleep with them at night. In case something comes in, you know.
Yeah. There's not much you can do, huh?
No, there's not much you can do.
there's some people who claim this sort of thing has happened to humans. Do you believe that?
It's possible that could have happened to humans, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But none of the cases that I investigated had anything. And I investigated a lot of deaths.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
About how many do you think?
Oh, probably a good 200.
Wow, and this is just in the New Mexico area?
Yeah, just because I was state police officer in New Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you ever help with investigations in Colorado?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot have happened up there, huh?
Yes.
Are there other strange, unusual things you've investigated in that area?
No, well, yeah, some other very sensitive stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
But it's research that's going on.
Uh-huh. Because I know at least in Pagosa Springs, which isn't too far, and on the Colorado side, and even in that area, there's lots of other weird things like lights in the sky that are reported, balls of lights in the mountains. Have you seen that or investigated that?
Yeah, some of them I have. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Have you seen that yourself?
Yeah. I know how to take pictures of the when they go into stealth. Yeah.
The balls of light?
Yeah.
What do you think those are?
Well, they do that. It's a technology that does that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you still think that. And what about, there's also reports of Bigfoot a lot in the area.
That's another thing. It's images.
Oh, just images that are created.
Yeah, exactly.
With some sort of technology.
Technology, yeah.
Uh-huh. All of this kind of to trick and fool people.
Yes.
So that's a very active and area in whatever secret group is going on down there.
Yeah.
Do you think it's the most active area in the country?
Well, they had it in Utah, they had it in Colorado, they had it all over the places, see.
Uh-huh.
But it created a lot of attention because of the tunnels, see.
Which tunnel?
The ones that are up there, see.
That are at the Archuleta Mountain?
Oh, in the Dulce area, yeah.
Oh, in the whole Dulce area?
Yeah.
I know I've heard of tunnels that were created because they were going to store nuclear waste under the Archuleta Mountain.
That's possible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But there's other tunnels also?
Well, yeah, there's about four of them.
And these are entryways to the secret bases?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are they still active entryways?
Well, they're not active unless they could see in that area. It's very hard because of the terrain. The mountains hide a lot of stuff. Unless you're up there monitoring 24 hours a day, you can't see it, see?
Mm-hmm.
It could move in the terrain. It's very rough, you know. It's hard.
Uh-huh. Some people have talked about, underground rail systems that connect these bases and bases even to, like, Los Alamos and to Kirtland Air Force Base. Do you think those exist?
I've never seen that. You know, you do hear a lot of it.
Uh-huh.
But I've never seen it.
Yeah. People have also reported strange noises in the area.
Yes, people have said that, but and then there's the confusion that you might hear human beings or doing or equipment working there, and that's where the noise comes from. See.
Yeah. Do you live in Dulce now?
No.
No. Oh, you're in Albuquerque.
Yes.
Yep, I love it out there. Personally. So how long have you been out there?
Oh, over 20 years.
Mm-hmm. So as far as you know, there's clandestine activity going on. Is it well known in throughout the state patrol?
Well, and then it breaks up, it picks up, but we haven't had any activity going on since
97, 98 mutilations up in Red River in Taos.
Mm-hmm.
And then he dies down.
Do you think that they only work in these places periodically, or do you think they're not there anymore?
I don't think they're there anymore because there's no reports of it anymore. See?
Uh-huh.
Like I say, in 1980, starting 1980, we didn't have any for 7 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So it's
they
only periodical.
Yeah.
So, and you think maybe they only come to these, like, underground laboratories to do certain experiments occasionally?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Wow, and you think it's tax money that goes to these programs?
It has to be. Who else is doing it?
Yeah.
If somebody else is doing it, we don't have any defense against it.
Yeah. And that's not good, huh?
If they can come and do that and operate freely without no interference,
mm-hmm.
then we don't have any security at all.
Yeah. Now, I know you went to the recent conference on Dulce Binario Harakawa.
Yes.
How do you feel about people believing in the UFOs and aliens in that area?
Well, they probably, what they see is very advanced. It's advanced
mm-hmm.
technology.
Yeah.
And it hasn't been disclosed.
Mm-hmm. So if those government people are trying to make people think it's UFOs and aliens, they're doing a good job.
Oh, yeah, anything, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kept harsh. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, like, other people in the government, like the president, know about it?
I don't know if he does or not, or if they share that information with him or not.
Uh-huh. Do you think that the FBI knows about it?
Probably I don't know if they do or not. Probably the top level does, but I don't think they really know what was behind it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that investigation that the FBI did in the 70s, do you think he was genuinely looking for answers, trying, or do you think he was just kind of trying to write it off?
Well, no, they got that grant in 1980. It was, and then we didn't have anything because the people were pushing the district attorney to find some answers to it.
Uh-huh. And you
but
think they're really
have any,
trying?
And then predators. The only thing they saw was animals that had died, probably
mm-hmm.
a natural causes, but didn't have
gotcha.
To do anything with the mutilation.
So they genuinely tried to look for answers. It's just nothing was happening during
well,
that time.
And justify the grant that was given to them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So they tried. Do you know, have other organizations, like, do you know if the CIA or Air Force has come in to try to investigate also?
Not that I'm aware of. No.
Uh-huh.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. So, do you know then, so you probably believe then that Richard Doty did know what was going on in that area?
He probably did know something, but he perforce him. I don't think Air Force Intelligence knew exactly everything that was going on. They knew a lot about the sophisticated aircraft. See?
Uh-huh.
But the other stuff that was going on, he probably didn't know.
Wow. So it all gets pretty complicated.
Yeah, it does.
Why do you think they hide what they're doing?
Because it's very sensitive, what it is, see?
Uh-huh. But, I mean... But it's important enough to create crimes for?
Well, apparently it is. You know what they did? It's so sensitive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think it's worth it?
Well, probably after. It might be that they don't want for the public to know about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But is that justified?
Well, they ought to compensate the people that they took the money away from.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah. If they were going to do that, they could have bought animals and do the research on it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't want to know what's going on. They didn't want people to know why the research.
Uh-huh. So do you think Richard Doty believes in UFOs and aliens?
No, I don't. Well, that I don't know. Yeah.
Not sure?
No.
Do you?
No.
No?
No.
And then with Paul Benowitz, he had a breakdown, unfortunately, a mental breakdown where he was institutionalized for a period of time, which is very unfortunate. Do you talk to him after that?
No. He's not around anymore.
Oh, right. Yeah, now.
No.
She just passed.
Yeah.
But did you... Were you around when that happened?
Well, I knew he was having some type of... he was having problems, yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's too bad. And you think... Do you think it's dangerous to get too worked up or... like he did, get too wrapped up in some of that stuff?
Well, it's advanced technology, and you never know how it's going to affect you, see?
Uh-huh. So the technology itself might have affected him.
It could have, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, and then I guess when, you know, talking about, just because I have friends and stuff who do investigate cattle mutilations, and who knows, I may, again, once, as well, what are the sort of chemicals we need to be careful of?
And that's very sensitive too. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What kind of precautions would you recommend?
Just stay away from those cattle.
Just stay away.
Yeah.
And if it's happening to you, there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah.
That's frustrating. I'm sure a lot of people would be frustrated to know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's just nothing they can do, huh?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. All right. Well, so how about now? Do you mind, like, going to the conferences? And do you go there to speak and kind of let people know about at least what you've told me?
No, I don't talk. I don't get up and talk, no.
No?
No.
You just go to kind of see people and,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see what's going on?
Yeah.
You think it's important people know that it's not UFOs and aliens?
Yeah, well, I think people are kind of finding out that it probably wasn't, because if it's UFOs and aliens, they can come and take our houses up in the air and we don't have any defense on it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
If it's that, yeah.
If aliens have that advanced technology, they rule the whole world.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. I remember one story, you know, of a guy in the valley, San Luis Valley, which is, you know, the Colorado side up there. And he said, I'm pretty sure it was a valley, where he said, you know, he saw wind around his house. And he went outside and he knows he couldn't see it. He couldn't hear it. But there's wind around his house. And he knew there was a helicopter above his house because he used to be in the military and he knew what helicopters were like when they're right
yeah.
above you. And then the next day he found one of his animals mutilated.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of the typical story that you found, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you ever come into Albuquerque, give me a call.
Okay, I will for sure, because okay. I'd love to meet you and talk. And, you know, I thank you for the work you did. At least it seemed that you were taking these guys serious at a time when other people weren't.
Yeah, well, you see it, you know, when you get really involved in it, you know.
Uh-huh.
They were doing it, they were repeating these things. Then
yeah.
you're finding out more and more as you go along, you know.
Right. Right. Okay, well, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Okay.
And you have a great evening.
Okay.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Some very interesting information. Could it be that there is a secret government agenda to mutilate the cattle, to leave them, or to come drop them near where they were taken in order to make us believe that extraterrestrials are at fault, when indeed it is the government themselves? Those sons of... Now, when I've done the investigating myself, the hard part with this theory is that Well, every piece could work if it was really, I mean, I guess clandestine, you know, secret stuff. But the problem I have is, for instance, the one in Colorado that I did last, really the only one that I've really gotten in-depth investigation into, was on a busy road. And, you know, this is a very rural area, so there's only one road that goes even into these other towns. And a busy road, the animal was below a draw, you know, in a stream it was found in. So it's kind of this gully, but this gully is a few hundred feet. There's a house on the south and a few hundred to the north. And so it's not that far that a house is out there, and it's by this busy road that is traversed, you know, at least you can't go a couple minutes without a car coming by. So why do it in an area that is so highly visible? They would have had to, really snuck in to do this thing. It would have to be very coordinated and careful. So why would they put themselves at risk? Why would they put this technology at risk when they could just take the animal and keep it? Was it a mistake like Mr. Valdez had suggested? But if these are such complicated intelligent programs, why would they make a mistake like that for so very long? I don't know. Of course, at the same time, this is a gentleman who was a state patrol officer in the area where this sort of thing happened the most. And he is a professional investigator, criminal investigator, and, you know, he put his skills at task here. And he even says he even knows what organization is committing these criminal acts. And I guess that's one of the things that's really frustrating. I'm the type of person where I probably would stop at nothing. At least over time, I would do my best to bring these people to justice, because this is just so incredibly wrong. First of all, because it's taking money from all of these people. But second of all, because, of course, as you all know, I'm a big animal lover, so much so that I'm a vegetarian. And so was Jason and Maureen. Although I think that I love animals more than they do, because I don't know why I say that, actually. Anyway, very interesting conclusions that he comes to, interesting ideas, and who is this organization that is doing this, and of course it makes it very mysterious, and I wish he would share with me who he thinks these guys are. However, I do want to give you guys some special news to thank you for listening to the radio show. This is something that we have not announced yet, that will probably be announced publicly very soon, but I want to let you in on our UFO Congress speakers. Now, this year what we did is gone for some of the top guys, some of the, you know, people, everybody's been sending us who they want. So we've gotten the biggest requested people, and that is Stephen Greer will be coming, Colin Andrews, Whitley Strieber, and those are some of the biggest requests. And on top of that, this is really exciting, because we're going to have General Bermudez. So we're going to have a general there, and he's a Chilean general who's in charge of their research out there. So it was actually, I told you earlier that we have a story about the Chilean government UFO research group releasing some information. This guy's the boss, so we're getting him to come. But it was his assistant, second in command, that Antonio had talked to and got that information from for the story that we have on the website about what information it was that they recently released, and the details about that and when they actually released it. So this is some exciting stuff for those Jaime Musan fans. Jaime Musan will be coming back. He wasn't there last year or this year, but he will be for our 2012. And then we've also, of course, got our good buddy Ben Hansen, who we saw at MUFON, the guy who is the lead investigator for the Fact or Fake television show. And we have David Hatcher Childress from Ancient Aliens. and more. So it's going to be a great conference, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for listening to Open Minds Radio. Be sure to join us next week and check out openminds.tv for the latest UFO news and information. Talk to you next week.